If you remember a few Sundays ago on Easter Sunday, Deaconess Bessie was supposed to preach. But we had a special guest preacher, Reverend Annette Brownlee. And then Bessie explained that, well, she is the house preacher. And so she is very happy to give up her preaching slot to a special guest preacher. But you know what? House preacher, house brand. How many of you actually buy house brands? You know, when you go to NTUC, they've got their house brand. You go to Watson's, they have their house brand. You go to Giant, they have their house brands. How many of you use house brands, buy house brands? Yeah, all the mothers, right? Because why? Because it's cheap and good. So, yeah, Bessie is our house preacher, cheap and good. But I am the Mother's Day preacher because I'm the only mother on the 9 a.m. staff. So, no choice. I am your Mother's Day preacher today. This morning, I just want to thank the worship team, Ime and Dennis and the worship team, for playing that special song for us. You know, they are not used to singing this kind of pop song, especially songs in my generation, right? So it was a little, they had to practice a lot. But thank you very much. And also to all the parents who brought your children for the practices. And you know, the children were just so adorable, right? Doing the Mamma Mia song. I just love the children. 6-year-old Johnny and his sister, 4-year-old sister, Susie, they bought a Mother's Day gift for their mum. And when mum saw what it was, she was taken aback because they had bought a flower wreath with the words, "Rest in peace." And Johnny said, "Well, mum, you're always asking for a little peace so that you can rest." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that this morning we can come together to celebrate mothers, to honor mothers. And Lord, this morning, we just want to commit this time to you. And so may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. This morning, my topic is on a mother's love. And the passage that was so well read for us, you all know this story. It is a story about Solomon's wisdom. You know, Solomon pleased God because when God asked him, "What do you want?" he didn't say, "I want long life," or "I want riches," or "I want power." But he said, "Give me wisdom." And God gave Solomon wisdom, and he was the wisest king that ever lived. He wrote so many Psalms and Proverbs. They were all written by Solomon. And not only that, so when you read this story is actually is proof. It shows you just how wise Solomon was when he had to judge these two women who came to him. But today I want to look at it from the angle of the two mothers. These two mothers were prostitutes. In chapter 3, verse 16, it says, they were, "Then two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him." And although they were prostitutes, you can see how much they love their children. The mother whose child died, you know, she was so desperate that she stole the living child. It meant so much to her. In those days, being a childless woman means you are considered a failure. And children were a very important part of the society's economic structure. They were a source of labor for the family, and it was the children's duty to care for their parents in their old age. So for the child whose mother had died, she was so desperate, she went to steal the other woman's child. And the mother of the living child, you can see in the story, you can see the love and the sacrifice that she was even willing to give up her child, to give her child to the other woman, just so the child could live. Because, you know, in those days, there was no DNA testing, you know, to prove who is the mother. You know, I like to watch these Korean dramas. And it's always, always about mothers abandoning their children and then women adopting other people's children. And then 30 years later, when the child grows up, they go around looking for their birth mother. And I mean, it's always like this, okay? And always, in the end, the point I want to make is, you know, it shows how much the mothers love their children. It didn't matter whether they gave birth to the child or not. They really love their children. And so today, as we celebrate Mother's Day, I want you to know that God gave us mothers to love and to take care of us. And for those of us who are mothers, to also love and take care of the children that God gave to us. You know, sometimes we do not know how much our mothers love us. And this is where I want to share my story with you. My parents were divorced when I was 7 years old. I was 7 years old, and my mother took me. I was in primary one, and halfway through primary one, she pulled me out of school, and she put me into Salvation Army at Pasir Panjang. Okay, because at that time, we had just left. I mean, the family had just broken up. And my mother was afraid that my father will come to school and kidnap me. And so she took me out of school together with my younger sister. My younger sister was 5, I was 7. She put us into Salvation Army. She wanted to hide us away. I have one more sister. She was still a baby at that time. You know, that was the most difficult time of my young life because I was taken away from my friends. I was put in this place and I totally hated it. I felt that my mother had abandoned me. She had just left me there and just abandoned me because that place, they were very, very strict and no visitation. You cannot visit your child. So for about, I can't remember how long, but for about 1 or 2 months, I stayed in that place. And it was really, really the worst time of my life. I was bullied. I went to the school next to Salvation Army. It was in a totally new place, no friends, nothing. My little sister was 5 years old and she was useless. She couldn't comfort me at all. So after that, you know, it was only many, many years later when I became an adult, I grew up. One day, my mother told me, she said, you know that time when I took you out of school and put you into Salvation Army? She said, do you know that every day after work, I would go down. I would make my way down to Salvation Army. I would stand at the fence and I would look out for you. Sometimes I see you playing in the field, running around, walking around. Sometimes I see you, sometimes I did not. But every day I will go after work. I will go and I will stand at the fence and look out for you. And at that point, I realized how much my mother actually loved me. That although it was so painful for me, I thought I was abandoned. It was so painful for me. But what I didn't realize was that it was just as painful for my mom to be separated from her children. And she actually did that day after day after day without fail. And I didn't know. So this is just a little story that I want to share with you about my mother's love for me. And, you know, so you see, I came from a broken family. But if you look at me today, I'm so blessed. And God has used my life experiences so that I'm able to understand and empathize with people, you know, in my pastoral ministry, in the Sunday school, with the Sunday school children that I work with, in the community, the children that I work with. God has used me to be able to minister to other people. And I don't pretend that in our congregation there are no broken families. I'm sure there are. And I just want you to know that for each one of you, that God has a plan for us. God has a plan for us, for our welfare, not for evil, to give us a future and a hope. And for those who are seeking, you want to know more, you want to know this God that we worship. He says, you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I promise you, it's not easy being a mother. Mothers are not perfect. I am not perfect. I remember one incident. My daughter was cycling. She wanted to cycle to her grandmother's house. So it's not very far from where we live. So I said, okay, you cycle to Ama's house. I will drive behind you. Because I'm still scared, right? I said, I will drive behind you. And so we did that. And then at one traffic junction, a bus turned the corner and knocked her down. You know, at that point, got out of the car. I didn't know what to do. I really didn't know what to do. I was just so shocked. The bus driver came down from the bus and started scolding her for blocking his way. So bus driver came down, scolded her. This little girl, she must be 10 or 11. She didn't know what to do, getting up, you know, with her bike. And this mother standing there didn't know what to do, so shocked. And after that, the bus drove off, and I said, never mind, let's continue, let's go to Ama's house. And go to Ama's house. We did. And after that, I thought, why? I couldn't even scold the bus driver. I was just so stunned and shocked about the whole thing. But you know what I did? After that, I decided that the cause of the problem was the bicycle. And so, I gave away her bicycle. I must have hurt my daughter a lot, you know, to just give away the bicycle. But to me, that was the cause of the problem. So, the easiest thing to do was to give away the bicycle. And so, you see, we are not perfect. And we will never be. But you are your child's perfect mom. If you remember the song that we sang just now. Because you're the perfect mom for me. You remember? You are the perfect mom to your child. And so this morning, I want to just share with you my 3-point sermon. Oh, what happened to all my slides? A mother has a unique privilege. Oh, are my slides on? Sorry. Oh, okay. A mother has a unique privilege to host life in her womb, a life within a life. Only a mother could give life to a child. And there will always be this special bonding between mother and child. There is a Jewish proverb that says, a mother understands what a child does not say. A mother understands what a child does not say. And mothers, God has given you this privilege in Psalm 139. I just want to read this to you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. You see, not all of us will have children, but every one of us has a mother, someone who gave birth to us. So it doesn't matter whether you love your mother or not, God has given her to you. This is a woman's privilege, a mother's privilege. My second point, a mother has unlimited power to shape a life. Because you see, you know your children so well. I just want to read the passage that was read for us about the two mothers. In verse 21, the mother of the living child, she said, when I rose in the morning to nurse my child, behold, he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning, behold, he was not the child I had born. You see, she knew that that child was not hers. She looked at the child and immediately she knew the child was not hers. You see, for us as mothers, we know our children so well. We know them so well. Thomas Edison's teacher sent him home with a note for his mother, and it read, I think your child is dumb. We can do nothing for him. And Mrs. Edison wrote back, you do not understand my boy. I will teach him myself. And Thomas Edison became an inventor who changed the world. Enrico Caruso, he's the world-famous Italian tenor, and he was told by his music teacher that his voice was like the sound of wind going through the shutters of a window. He was devastated. But his mother would not allow the words of a discouraging teacher to destroy her son. And so she coached Enrico herself. My mother shaped my life. She shaped my beliefs. I was baptized at St. Andrew's Cathedral when I was 6 years old. And from a young age, she taught me how to pray, especially when I was afraid. She taught me how to pray to God. My mother shaped my career. She was a stenographer in the British Army. I think it's an obsolete job now. Maybe the young people don't even know what a stenographer does. But basically, she wrote in shorthand. She took notes. And whatever her bosses dictate to her, she will take it down and then she will type it out. That's the job of a stenographer. Of course, it's obsolete now. And I wanted to be like my mum. So when I was 15 years old, I was in secondary three. I was still in school. When I was 15 years old, I went to learn shorthand. I was the eldest in the family, and I knew that my mother wouldn't be able to afford to send me to university. So I did commercial pre-U. It was pre-university in those days, and I went for the commercial stream. And I remember, because I knew shorthand very well by the time I did my pre-U, So when the teachers were talking and everything, and I took down all the notes in shorthand, I typed out the notes and I sold it to my classmates. Yeah, I must learn how to make money, right? And my dream at that time was to be a court reporter. I wanted to be a court reporter. It was my dream. But you had to be able to write shorthand at 150 words per minute. And I only managed 140 words a minute. Even though I always watch the news, and as the newscaster is reading, I write it down and then I transcribe it. That was how I practiced my shorthand. So I never realized my dream, but I chose to be a secretary. And so I became a professional secretary until I came into full-time service. My mother also shaped my values. Her name is Patience. And this is how she got her name. She was, at that time, when she was a child, she attended CEZMS. It is now called St. Margaret's School. But she was in CEZMS, and she was staying in the school at that time. And one day, she was late for school. She had very long hair, and they had to plait it up before they go to school. And so she was rushing, and she was rushing and tying her hair and changing into her uniform. And she was in such a hurry, she slammed the cupboard door, and the whole door came down. She broke the door. And then behind her, the nun said, "Patience, patience." And so, when she was baptized in after the war in 1947, her name became Patience. And I believe is a characteristic that I have inherited from my mom. I think I am quite a patient person. My mother also taught me to respect my elders and to never talk back to them, no matter what happens, and no vulgar language. So until today, I wouldn't dare to utter a bad word out of my mouth. You see, my mother was adopted, and my grandmother was a bar girl. It is actually a very nice name for a prostitute. In those days, right, people, especially single women, they would either adopt a daughter or pay money and buy a daughter to look after them in their old age. And my grandmother was very, very vulgar, and I was bombarded with this kind of language on a daily basis, every day. And yet, I learned not to ever utter a bad word. So you see, mothers, you have the power to shape the lives of your children. Proverbs tells us to train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And thirdly, a mother's ultimate purpose is to save life. To save life. An eternal future for your children. One of the biggest joy and responsibility of being a mom is to secure your children's eternal future. And you say, how? How do I do that? Susanna Wesley, she was the mother of John and Charles Wesley. She had 19 children. And yet, every day, amid the chaos of a noisy home, she would sit in the kitchen with her apron over her head to pray for each of her children. And Job, in the book of Job, in the first chapter, we read, Job was a rich man. God had blessed him. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had much cattle. He had many servants. He was a rich man. And it says in verse 4, his sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day, and they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the days of the feast had run their course, Job would send and consecrate them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. So you see, Job prayed for his children. He was afraid that they would have accidentally sinned against God. So he prayed for his children. So fathers too, not just mothers. We need to pray for our children. I pray for my daughter because she's been living overseas ever since she got married. And I can't do very much because she's not here with me. I can't do very much except pray for her and be her secretary. You know, earlier on we had Sulin come up to pray for the mothers. And I want to tell you just a little bit about Petals. I told you it is a group of mothers coming together to pray for their children, to really pray for their children. And if you say, yeah, I love my children, I want to pray for my children, but I really don't know how to do it. I find it so difficult. You know, they have this book. You saw a little bit of the book. This book will be available after service. You can go and grab a copy. And this book will actually help you to pray, how to pray for your children, for all the various different areas of their lives. So if you need help with that, do pick up a copy. And besides praying for our children, we also need to teach them the Word of God. That's why we do this in our service, memorizing the books of the Bible, reading the Bible, memory verses, and things like that. You know, I try to do it in a very fun way because I want all of you to be able to know the books of the Bible in their order. But actually, I'm very serious. I really want you all to be able to know the 66 books of the Bibles in order. You know, Psalm 119 verse 11 says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We need to help our children to do this, to store up the word of God in our hearts that we may not sin against God. Store up the word of God in our hearts, not just in our smartphones. So mothers, remember that God has given you a unique privilege to host life. God has empowered you to shape the lives of your children. God has given you a purpose to save lives, to secure your children's eternal future. At this point, I want to ask the worship team to just come and minister to us. As I was preparing for the sermon, God spoke to me. He said, don't just focus on the sermon. Minister to the people. So I just want to open the altar now, that you will come to the altar. You can come, perhaps pray for your mother, pray for your children. It doesn't matter whether they are obedient children or rebellious children. We need to pray our children. And if mothers can love their children unconditionally, how much more God loves us. God loves us, each one of us. John 15, it says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. So let's come. Let's come. Come and receive God's love. Know that He has a plan for you. If you need help, you need grace, pray for God's help in bringing up your children, because we know it is not easy. We need God's wisdom, strength, His grace, His understanding. Ask God to help us how we can shape the lives of our children. Come, pray for your family relationships. Commit your family to the Lord and ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit day by day. You know, we struggle. We cannot make it on our own. We need His Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So my dear friends, the altar is open. Please come quickly. Come quickly. We want to pray with you.